Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want you to be a part of this edition. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742, is open right now in the U.S. and in Canada. We would love to hear from you. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk with us about, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I know a lot of our friends and listeners are on the East Coast, North Carolina, South Carolina.
Yes,
and we
yes.
certainly want to be praying for their safety as Florence makes its way to that shoreline, that coastline. Boy, it started out as a really powerful, powerful storm. I think it's been downgraded.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's not going to bring lots of rain and lots of wind and, you know, lots of trials and tribulations for people in that area. I called one of our good friends, Patsy Moore, yesterday, and she's 150 miles inland, so she felt like she was going to be safe. And I love talking with her because, boy, she just exuded confidence in the Lord and real genuine, sincere, just simple faith in Christ. And that was just so encouraging to hear that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what comes when, you know, people really receive Jesus. They start abiding in his love, just coming to that point where they realize that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate them from the love of God. I mean, they've really taken their stand in the grace of God. They've taken their stand on the gospel. That hope, that timeless hope, is really anchoring them in the midst of any storm that comes their way.
Yeah.
And that is just beautiful to see, whether it's a physical storm like Florence, a hurricane, or whether it's some you know, life storm, like some relationship issue or money issue or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
When we take our stand on the gospel, we are anchored. And boy, that is a good thing, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. Because without that anchor, we tend to use our own skills and abilities and the way Paul describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the weapons of this world, the world system, against those storms. And it fails every time. But when you've got this anchor, when you've got Jesus Christ living inside of you and you're paying attention to him, you have power and tools that no one else has.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can understand but you. But because it's who you are in Jesus, you're able to stand there immovable against whatever the world or Satan or anyone else throws at you.
Yes. So our verse today is Philippians 4:1, and it's another stand verse. We've looked at quite a few of those this month, but this reads, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown." Boy, Paul loved those folks in Philippi, and there was such a personal relationship that he had with them. And so he writes and says, "You're my joy and my crown, and I long to see you, to be with you." And he says to them, he says, "I want you to stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." So if there's any place that you choose to stand in this life, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in his grace. Stand firm in his love. Stand firm in the forgiveness that you have. Stand firm in this new identity that he's given you. Stand firm in the fact that he's alive living in you. Stand firm in the Lord. That's the only place in this crazy world that you're going to find solid footing.
Yeah.
There's no other place to find solid footing other than in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So stand firm in him. And boy, when life does throw stuff your way, when those trials and tribulations come along, you will be anchored in a way that will give your hope even more impetus in your life and to give you victory like you've never imagined before. So as Paul said, stand firm thus in the Lord.
Yeah. Well, in line with what we're talking about this month, we have an excellent resource for you, my friends, as you make your gift in the month of September. It's called Stand
finding solid footing in a broken world, and you'll find solid footing for your faith as you let your roots grow deep and stand on the promises and power of our God. Request your copy when you send your gift this month, and you can do that by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. You can do it by phone at 844-322-2742. In Canada, you can give directly at basicgospel.net/Canada. You can use PayPal. You can use the Basic Gospel app. Anyway, it's a great way to join us and support this message of God's unconditional love and grace in Jesus Christ and find solid footing in a broken world.
Well, we do hope many people will take advantage of this resource this month. Andrew Farley and I tag team on this, and it's just a powerful resource. You're going to learn how to stand firm in the grace of God, the love of God, the power of God, and the victory of God. And I think you will just really be blessed and encouraged listening through this series, and it'll be something that you will want to share with others.
Yeah.
So give to Basic Gospel this month. When you do, request your copy of Stand. We'll put that in your hands as quickly as possible. Once you listen to it, let us know what you think, and then pass it on to someone else that can benefit as well.
Absolutely. We want you to share what you hear and read from Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742. If it's the first half of the 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk to our friend Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi again, guys. My question today is a follow-up question to the one I asked yesterday about how Jesus satisfies us in addition to saving us. And I really liked what you said, Bob, that everything changes when we meet the person of Jesus. And you can see that in the Bible, like you said, where Peter and Andrew leave behind their jobs as fishermen when Jesus calls them. And then even after Peter's failure, when he finds out that Jesus is waiting on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he just jumps right into the sea to go meet him. And I do want to have more of that kind of experience. And I know a lot of other people out there do too, where they can hear a lot of terms being thrown around, religious terms, doctrinal terms like righteousness and sanctification. And they might think, yeah, that's good for going to heaven, but what about right now? What about that thing that I struggle with, that I just don't see any hope for? How do those terms meet me in that need? And I do want to see how meeting the person of Jesus changes everything. So my question is, for everyone out there who's struggling with something and they just can't see how the gospel fits into it, how do we meet the person of Jesus?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, back in the day, I mean, when Jesus walked on this planet, was inhabiting that physical body that God the Father had prepared for him, people could see him. They could touch him. They could listen to him. They, you know, many of them ate with Jesus Christ. They listened to his teachings. And that was a fabulous, fabulous relationship that those apostles and disciples and those that followed Jesus were able to experience. But then Jesus went away and he said, it is good for you that I go away, because when I do, I'm going to send my Spirit. And so today we don't encounter Jesus physically. We encounter him through his Spirit that he has sent to us. So we first encounter the Spirit when the Spirit starts to work in our hearts as lost people to convict us wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. So about sin, because we do not believe in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is going to connect us to the person of Jesus. And when we believe that gospel message, then the Spirit comes to live inside of us. So we have the very presence of Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And he makes his presence known to us. And so we go through life together with him, in union with him. And so more than anything in life, it's this presence in us that begins to transform us, begins to change us. And the Spirit takes the things of the Lord Jesus and makes them known to us, makes them real to us in our day-to-day walk as believers in Christ Jesus. We might come to a particular difficult situation in life, and there's the doctrines of the faith, and those can bring comfort to us, and those can help change our thinking. But then it really is the person of Jesus in manifested to us in the Spirit, by the Spirit, that brings us the comfort and the strength that we really need. So it really gets down to Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you as the Spirit of God himself living in you. So it's really through the Spirit of God that we encounter Jesus Christ today and get to know him in such a personal and intimate way. And in many situations, it's more personal and more intimate than what those disciples experienced walking with Jesus during that 3-year period that he was with them. So our experience with Christ through the Spirit is much more deep and intimate than what they experienced before he died and was resurrected.
Yeah, I love the way Paul shorthands this in 1 Corinthians 2 when he's asking all these big questions about how in the world are we ever supposed to understand everything that God is and what Jesus has done. And in essence, at the end of the chapter, he says, well, here's how you know. You have the mind of Christ. There's a personal relationship right there. The very mind of Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And he's already meeting us. The challenge is, do I acknowledge that?
Yeah. And so it's by the Spirit, mm-hmm. you know, in the Word of God as well.
Yes.
So it's those two things that God uses to bring Christ into our experience. I mean, he's already there. He's already living in us. And then we encounter him by his Spirit and in the Word of God.
You know, I think a lot of people might be gauging their feelings.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What they think about Jesus, what he thinks about them. And if they do that, their feelings tell them, well, nothing is changing. So, you know, maybe God's just not happy with you or something like that. But it sounds like what you're saying is that by faith, we can have confidence simply in the presence of Jesus, that no matter what we feel like, he is already at work in us, whether we realize it or not.
Absolutely. And he never stops. He's always there with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never goes to sleep in the front of the boat. He's always awake and active inside of us. He's renewing our minds. He's bringing truth to our minds. He's comforting us when we need comfort. He's just always there with us. And when we just rest and trust, that presence really is manifested in such a wonderful, wonderful way.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks as always for everything you do. Maybe when I get off the phone, you can talk more about that Basic Gospel University, huh?
Well, we will do that. Hey, thanks, Chris. Thanks for the reminder. We certainly appreciate it. Yeah. And thanks, as always, for your call.
Yep, thank you.
All right. Well, he did mention Basic Gospel University. It's our online university where you can go and take a deep dive into the most essential truths of the Christian faith. Today we live by tweets and Facebook posts and little sound bites. And, you know, our faith doesn't grow. Our faith doesn't deepen into Christ just by those sound bites. We need something more. And Basic Gospel University gives you the opportunity to go deep into this gospel message and to allow the gospel message to go deep into you.
Yeah.
And our first course is entitled It Is Finished. It launches Monday. That is next Monday, September 17th. And, you go to basicgospel.university, basicgospel.university, and you can find out all the information about this wonderful course. It is finished. Now, there's six sessions there. We're going to have quizzes. There are further study documents there to really get you into the Word of God that will allow the Spirit of God to take these things you're hearing on the videos and really make them yours. We don't want you to believe it just because we've said it. We want you to believe it because the Spirit has taught you these things. So we've provided these further study documents that will really drive you deep into the Word of God. And then when you complete it, you'll get a certificate of completion. And then we're going to have more courses at Basic Gospel University as well. But all of that launches Monday, September 17th at basicgospel.university.
Not .com.
Not .com, .university. Yes. So just remember Basic Gospel University, put a dot after gospel, and you've got it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's power in the dot.
That's right. That's right.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. And, of course, looks like you have a call from your old hometown.
We do. We're going to go to Marietta, Georgia, to Don, listening to us on WDWD. Hi, Don. Welcome back, my friend.
Hey, how are you guys doing? I just want to say I so appreciate you guys making top priority conveying the very heart of the gospel to the very hearts of men and women who are listening, because it's absolutely what we need to be to hear over and over. But my quick question is Romans 8, verse 1, part B. Now, I don't know if that's just in the Textus Receptus, or if it's, I know it's not in some of the translations, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, comma, who walk according to the flesh and not, or who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. What is your take on that? Was that maybe brought up from verse 4 by a scribe, or what do you think?
Well, probably so. As you said, it's not in the earliest manuscripts that we have, and so these newer translations, they're going to use those manuscripts that are dated earlier, dated closer to the actual time that Christ lived and the apostles lived. They're going to prefer that over the later manuscripts, those dated around 900 AD or 1000 AD. And so in those early manuscripts, that phrase wasn't in there. But I think you're right. Okay. Probably a scribe just added that. Mm-hmm. And Paul certainly explains what that means. Those who walk according to the flesh are lost people. Those who walk according to the Spirit are saved. And that's what he says in verse 9, Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So the only way to be saved is to be in the Spirit. And to be in the Spirit means that Christ's Spirit, or the very Spirit of Christ, is living in you. Now, you may do some you may give in to some of the desires of the flesh, but you're doing it as someone who is in the Spirit. And that's why it doesn't seem appropriate anymore. It doesn't fit with you anymore. It doesn't make sense anymore, because that you're doing something in a realm that you previously were a part of, but are no longer a part of. So he explains that in the rest of this chapter. So those who are in the flesh are lost, those who are in the Spirit saved and have the Spirit of God living in them.
Yeah, there's an aspect of this that's really critical. When that little editorial comment was made or moved up, it made verse 1 almost an if statement. As long as you behave in the Spirit and don't misbehave in the flesh, then there's no condemnation. That's not what Paul said. He said, if you're in Christ, there is no condemnation. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Now let's talk. And then he can go into this, what does it mean to walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit? But you have to start from a position of strength, and that position of strength is no condemnation in Christ Jesus.
great answer, guys. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Don. Always good to hear from my friends in Marietta. So call us again, okay?
Yes, indeed. Love hearing from our listeners.
Hey. Let's go to Abbott, Texas, and talk to Carl. Hi, Carl.
Hello?
Carl, you're on the line. You're on the air. You're on Basic Gospel Radio.
Thank you. I have kind of a question that occurred to me this morning. I was wondering kind of what the difference in the plan between what God did at the flood when he destroyed the whole world and didn't send a Savior, but yet then when he sent Jesus, I know Jesus is part of the Trinity, to be our Savior. I mean, why didn't he destroy the world the second time, or why didn't he send Jesus the first time?
Well, Carl, what we know is this. Paul wrote about that in Galatians chapter 4. He said, at the right time, God sent Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law. So we're going to have to defer to God in that he knew exactly what he was doing. Now, as far as the flood is concerned, Carl, he did send a Savior. Now, that Savior was in the form of a boat. And Noah had enough faith in God's plan to build that boat, and that boat was available to whoever wanted to get on it. And it just so happened that only Noah and his family got on the boat. And what
I didn't know that. Where is that in the Bible? I mean, I'm sure it is. I guess it's in Genesis that somehow anybody could have got on there.
Yes.
And how is that worded?
Let me get there real quick.
Yeah, Richard's going to get there, but Peter talks about that in his letter, and he says this ark actually became a type or a shadow, a foreshadowing of the real plan of God for salvation, for eternal salvation, and that's Christ Jesus himself. So that ark and all of that way back then was really one of those pictures, those Old Testament pictures that showed us what Christ was going to do for us when he came. And he became our ultimate Savior to save us from sin and death and to deliver us into eternal life. So he is really the plan of God that was foreshadowed way back when. So, Richard, did you have that?
What God said, or what we know happened, is that it took 120 years to build the ark. And God said, it's time to go into the ark. Anybody who was there could have gone in. A bunch of the animals went in because God called them into that boat. There was no desire on God's part just to kill everybody.
Yeah.
That's never been his desire.
And the thing is that why the flood to begin with? Because every heart, the intent was evil. And that's what brought about this flood. But in that, there was this plan. So there's wrath, there's death, the wages of sin is death. But in the midst of that, there's this plan. His name is Jesus. And in Jesus, there's life. And when we receive that life, we're saved from the wrath to come. So, Carl, we're out of time. I sure appreciate your question. Outstanding question. I really love your deep thinking on that.
Yes,
so thank you, my friend. You call any time.
Yeah.
Well, we do want to, before you take it away, Bob, we do want to say again, our hearts and prayers are with those who are about to be hit, if they're not already being hit by Hurricane Florence, and we just pray God's safety and protection.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Bob. Tough times ahead for a lot of people. Well, friends, as we close today's program, we ask you to go online to basicgospel.net or to phone 844-322-2742 and make your most generous gift to help us continue to reach out with the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you do, be sure to request your copy of Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. Again, that's at basicgospel.net or 844-322-2742. And in Canada, of course, you can give directly at basicgospel.net/Canada. You can also give by PayPal or through the Basic Gospel app. Remember, too, that the same phone number, of course, is available every day and night. Just in case you have a question or a concern, you can call 844-322-2742 and leave your question in your own voice. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for the final session of the Grace Guide to Marriage on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.